This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Wow, you all are enjoying that. Much more so than I anticipated. And somebody did shout out very quickly. It was Bonnie Tyler. I think that was probably the earliest record I can remember owning.
Amazing.
I think my sisters had it.
Yeah.
I had two older sisters. Yeah. But you know, although we can laugh, and if I'd have shown you the picture that came on the album of Bonnie Tyler singing, you'd have probably laughed even more because she had incredible hair. It was out here. But I think that Bonnie Tyler was onto something. And I think that she was 30 years ahead of her time. Because, as I'm sure you could pick up from the song, she was singing about heroes. And I want to tell you this morning that it's our time for heroes. But unlike the heroes that Bonnie Tyler sings about, the heroes that we need, the heroes that we need to be, the heroes that God is looking for, are not those who are fresh from the fight. I don't know if you picked that up from the line. They're not white knights riding into battle. They are heroes, not because they are muscular, not because they have certain physical characteristics, not because they're very strong, they can bench press 300 pounds or whatever it is. These heroes, the heroes that we need, the heroes that we need to be, the heroes that God is looking for, have fought a different fight. They have fought a fight in their own lives. They fought a fight against apathy in their own life. That means can't be bothered. They fought the tendency in their own life to be self-absorbed. They fought the distractions of the world, the cares of the world, and an over-preoccupation with them. They fought the easy route in life. They fought the easy route of self-promotion and being self-satisfied with what they have. They fought the tempting desire to settle for an easy life and to settle for what they have and for what they have experienced of God so far. And it's not that that experience might be bad. However good that experience, their experience of God has been, these heroes, they refuse to settle. They refuse to settle because they know that with an eternal, everlasting, all-powerful, infinite God, there is always more. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because with God, God is eternal and infinite. Therefore, there is always more. More of Him and more that He has for us. And these heroes, they understand that. They understand. And that desire for more, that passion for more, it consumes them. It burns within them like an unquenchable or insatiable fire. That desire burns. It burns from deep within them. It burns within their bones. The lowest part of you that you can think of, it burns from within. And that desire, that fire that burns for more of God in these heroes, it propels them. It pushes them forward. It propels them to cry out to God, to call on Him persistently and consistently for more, because there is always more. And these heroes, like Jacob, who wrestled with God, they wrestle with God. You know, the Bible tells us that Jacob wrestled all night with God to encounter Him face to face. That's what he says afterwards. He says, I've met the Lord face to face. And Jacob wrestles with God face to face for an encounter and the blessing that comes after that. The blessing that comes and follows the encounter with God. And these heroes, they wrestle with God like Jacob wrestled. They wrestle day and night. They wrestle in prayer. They wrestle in petitions. They wrestle in their tears. They wrestle with crying out to God for more. You know, these heroes have overcome the fear in their own lives, which says, I don't want to go into deep water. They've overcome the fear in their life, which says, I'm happy to paddle in the shallows and to just have a little bit. But the desire pushes them further into God. It pushes them deeper, and it demands that they are immersed in all that God has for them and has for us. Immersion is the complete surrender. It's the complete saturation in all that God has for us and all that he wants to do through us. It's not a little splattering. When you're saturated, well, you know it, don't you? When you're saturated, it's complete. And the thing about being immersed in God is jealous, and it's not possible to be immersed in God and immersed in other things at the same time. It's exclusive. You know, God is very jealous and he's very exclusive. He demands our exclusive attention and our exclusive immersion. You and I have to understand, it's important, when we come to God, it's important we understand that God doesn't really need us. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our gifts. He doesn't need our abilities. He doesn't need what we have. Acts 17, verse 24 says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And yet, this God, who doesn't need anything from us, he calls us and he wants us to partner with him in what he is doing. It's a wonderful thing, in fact. It's incredible that a God who needs nothing would call on you and I to get involved in what he is doing. It's an incredible thing. But of course, as you would expect, as God calls us to get involved in what he is doing, it has to be on his terms. It has to be in his way. We have to be immersed in God. God does not have to be immersed in us. We have to wait on God. God does not have to wait on us. We come to God on his agenda. He does not come on our agenda. I mean, I know God wants to bless us, don't get me wrong. He completely wants to bless us. He wants to see us have a good life that is blessed and we have an abundance, absolutely. But the purpose of salvation was not that God would bless us. The whole purpose that you and I are here is not that we would have a nice life and have everything we needed. We were saved for the agenda that God has for us and for this world. And therefore, we have to be immersed in what God is doing, not the other way round. It's very easy to get caught up the other way round. But these heroes, they understand. They understand and they've risen above the things in their life that are important, but they're not the main reason we're here. The main reason we are here is to be immersed in what God is doing. The main reason is to come on the agenda that God has for us, to come on his terms, and to say, God, we're here to do what you want. You are not here just to do what I want. I'm here to do what you want. And those are the heroes that God is looking for. And those are the heroes that you and I need to be. Because, you know, when we talk about waiting on God, waiting on God is not the thing that comes to our mind so often, which is sitting in a waiting room, waiting tediously for something not very exciting to happen. Yeah, that is not what waiting in God means. If you look at the biblical sense of waiting on God, it's an active process. It's the active pursuit of God. all that he has for us and all that he has. It's an active process. In Philippians 2 verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus hath made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." These heroes, the heroes that you and I need to be, the heroes that God is looking for, are those who pursue God. They pursue God. They recklessly plunge into the depths of what God has, immersing themselves fully in all that he has, and the encounter with God that is necessary to see all of that happen. And you know, the wonder about these heroes, the heroes that I'm telling you, you and I need to be, is that it's not just for the few. It's not just for Matthew, and it's not just for Tony. It's not just for Ruth. It's not, I don't know where she is, she's hiding. It's not just for the life group leaders or the worship leaders. The immersion that God has for us, the pursuit of God that he calls us to, the heroes that that makes you, is something for each and every one of us. Because the immersion is corporate. The immersion is something that happens. It happens together. It is for us together. The immersion in God is something for us together. You know, the fact that I have a job doesn't qualify me any more than somebody who is unemployed. Doesn't matter. Being immersed in God, that doesn't matter at all. If you're a man, it doesn't mean you are better qualified to be immersed in what God wants you to be immersed in than a woman. If you are young, if you are old, it doesn't matter. If you think you are a leader or you are not a leader, it doesn't matter. Being immersed in what God wants us to have and to experience doesn't matter. Any of those things don't matter. It's for all of us. Do you believe that? It's for all of us. You don't know what you're saying. No, I don't. I'm not trying to be facetious, but it's an incredible thing. What God has called us to is an incredible thing. It starts by opening your mouth, but it's an incredible thing that we confess it. And we're going to find that out in the near future. What matters, don't matter about your gender, it doesn't matter about your whether employed, your gifts, your abilities. What matters is that you hear the call. You hear the call that God is calling you to get immersed in all that he has. What matters is you hear it and you give up your resistance. Because if God doesn't need anything, if he doesn't need anybody, then he doesn't need you to work hard in order to receive what he wants you to have. You just have to give up your resistance to what God wants to do and just get into it. You have to just get into it. You have to just give up the fact that you're fighting what God wants to do. Now, I don't understand why God would choose us. I'm not trying to be rude to you, but I don't understand. I certainly wouldn't have chosen me, and I don't know why God would choose us to be corporately immersed in what he wants to do. But he does, and that's his choice. He can make a sovereign choice to do that. But it's up to you and I just to give up our resistance and to say, "God, if you want it for us, then we want it too. If you have it, we want it. We don't know best, you do." And you give up your resistance and you go, "God, whatever you have for us, I want." Amen. And I know that these heroes that God wants and he wants us to be and we can be are those who burn with a passion for God. They're those that are so jealous and so consumed with an excitement and a desire for God that they give up and they just say, "God, we want it. We want whatever you have, we want it. We don't want anything else. We don't look anywhere else. We look to you. We depend on you. We believe your word, all of it. We believe everything that you have for us. And come rain or shine, if our lives are looking good or if they're looking bad, it doesn't matter. We want what you have. We don't want anything else." And when you've given up your resistance, you start talking and you open your mouth and you say, God, I want it. And it's that stirring that starts the process. It's the stirring of yourself as opening the mouth to say, God, I want to be immersed. I want to be this hero that is open to all of us here. I want all that you have for us. You open your mouth and you stir yourself. Because you know it's not too late for us. It's not too late. I know it was about 13 months ago or so that God first spoke to us about the corporate baptism. That's what baptism means, immersion. It was 13 months ago. But you know, it doesn't mean that God has changed his mind, the fact that we're still here and we haven't received it. He hasn't changed his mind. All it means is that we are now 13 months closer to it happening than we were 13 months ago. He hasn't changed his mind. You know, a great move of God is coming in our nation. I'm not trying to spook you, but it's coming. A great move of God is coming to our nation. The matter is fixed. God is not going to change his mind. He's already spoken it, and it's going to happen. And the armies of heaven, they understand it. The spiritual realm understand it. And the angels take up their places, and they are doing that now. And the preparation that you and I are going through is only a reflection of what is happening in the spiritual realm. The matter is fixed. It will come to pass. As surely as day follows night, it will happen. Because, you know, there really is no alternative for you and I. We can't change a city, let alone a nation, through human effort. It is not possible. We need a move of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths grow faint and weary." Human effort is not enough. Working hard for God is not enough. It's not enough. Human effort is not enough. Young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord... It's those who wait for the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. They run and they not be weary. They shall walk and they will not faint. So I want to encourage you. Let's accelerate what God wants to do in us. Let's hasten the day when he moves in this place. And we don't go home and go, did he move, didn't he move? Because it is so obvious, not just to you and I, but to everybody outside, that God is moving. Let's hasten the day, hear the call, and decide you're going to answer it. That this is our time, it's your time, to be that hero who hears what God is calling and you do it. It's open to all of us here. There's nobody here that is not able to get involved in what God is doing. So I want to encourage you to get on board, surrender your life, and we'll see the wonders of God together.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.